Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio. And your front row. Welcome to the Friday Rub.
For Macca's Little Wins app.
Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, we do. And Friday night, there's no better place to be than the Triple MCG for two of the big powerhouses of 2016, Hawthorn and the Sydney Swans. We're going to be speaking to Luke Hodge. We're going to be speaking to John Longmire. We're going to be speaking to Joe Ingles, if you don't mind. NBA star and, of course, a great fan to many of the Hawks. A very, very rusted-on Hawthorn fan, Joe Ingles. He's coming up as well. But in the box, we have some, speaking of stars, Luke Darcy dominating Hot Breakfast. Hello, Duke.
Hello, Jim. Good to be here with you on a Friday night. And always get excited when you've got a couple of genuine contenders head-to-head. They've got a good rivalry, these two clubs, looking forward. Hey, some good news. I understand Jared Rufford's already here tonight supporting his mates. The whole industry have their love and support behind that man, as we would all acknowledge one of the best people you would ever meet in footy, Ruffy. So great to see that he's here at the MCG tonight.
Brilliant. Damien Barrett's here, the newsbreaker extraordinaire. Hello, Purple.
Hello, Jim and Darson Chief. And it's an awkward sort of feeling coming to the ground tonight, isn't it, Jim? We obviously have the top of the ladder clash or thereabouts between these two teams, but the Jared Roughhead situation just puts a different slant on it, doesn't it? And we'll talk about that as the night unfolds. But I just say he's here, yep. And he and the club want to be as normal as they possibly can as he embarks upon a recovery process.
He's never, Chief, as I welcome you, for a legend of the Hawthorn Footy Club, he's never been comfortable with any form of spotlight on him, Rough, for any reason.
No, he hasn't. It's been a sad week, a very emotional week. And to be brutally honest, Jim, just looking to the game ahead, I have no idea what sort of performance the Hawks are going to put in. Because it could have, so many different effects on the players. It might have a positive effect. It might have a seriously negative effect. It might have no effect. You just don't know. But the game, I think, is secondary to the week that broke the news about Ruffy's issues. And we're all just hoping that the best possible result is what comes from it.
Have we got any idea how he's going? I mean, we've all exchanged texts and all the rest of it, but is there any sort of inside mail as to how he's tracking the champ?
No, I couldn't tell you, mate. He's got some great people around him, some great mates, and certainly strong family connections, so doing as well as he can. I think they're pretty... because he was down doing a bit of gym work yesterday, I think, out at the club, and they're a little amazed that he's actually still doing that.
Yep.
I think he's so level-headed, he just wants to keep the same routine going. Yep. That's what's working for him at the moment. He was rehabbing from an injury. He was nearly ready to start getting back into it. So even though he's got to have the treatment and do certain things and have biopsies and whatever taken, he's still going to try and keep his routine as normal as possible, I believe.
Heard he had a couple of throw rounds of the hoops even yesterday too, Jim, inside the rooms there, just in a scratch match scenario.
Can play.
Well, it's interesting to see how the whole industry moves forward with it, Duke, because I said last night on the footy show, you say it often and it might even be a trite sentence to come out with, but to utter the sentence, I've never heard a bad word said about a bloke, you trot it out. Yeah. But I'm quite serious with Jared Roughhead. Yeah. I have never heard one single person ever say anything negative about this bloke in the whole time he's been involved.
I've got this theory that in team sport, it eliminates a lot of people who perhaps aren't that strong of character. And the more elite you get, the more that happens, because you get tested and you get put through, and it's a very accountable environment. So most people who get through AFL football, I find, are really rock solid because they've tested themselves. And then there's this other category of people who just transcend every team, because you have your rivalries and everyone has a few blues in the industry. That's just the way it works. But there's this sort of category, Bob Murphy's probably in that category as well, plays at my club. But Ruff's just one of those people that we all love. Everyone who's encountered him will feel the same way.
Yep, so the word normal and him will fit nicely into that same sentence. So I'm sure he'll be here, and as everyone does, we'll have our fingers and toes crossed for everything that's coming up for the great man. Plenty to discuss about the game tonight too, so we'll be giving that its due deference. Yes, Chief?
We need to just perhaps go off on a slight tangent, Jim, before we start talking about the game.
Yes.
Because I heard some extraordinary news that has come to light after some discussions this morning. Mm. I would have thought that we're all pretty capable of using car parks.
And technology.
And entrances and exits.
Yep. Here we go.
Well, before we actually find out exactly what happened, let's just have a listen to a discussion on the Hot Breakfast this morning.
Yep. Get to the thing, dead. So I'm looking around for the button to press so you can speak to the person in the booth that tells you, okay, hey, mate, I'm I work here. You can. So I'm looking at this boom gate and I'm going, well, I know how I can get out. I'm going to lift the boom gate up.
Oh no.
So I lifted the boom gate up.
He's gone rogue.
And so I did ring, and I think that boom gate was then up permanently for a little while. So
well, it was. We've got footage of everyone.
CCTV is there.
A runner.
Is there? I let everyone out of the car park.
So, Duke, parking underneath Triple M for work, it's not that difficult.
No.
And rather than show a little bit of patience, you broke the boom gate.
Well, no, the boom gate is broken as a result of what happened in the end. But Jim parks.
So you broke the boom gate.
But Jim's got a swipe down there as well. Yes. So I leave at 9 o'clock and I had to get to a 9:30 meeting. And I swipe the first one, there's two boom gates, get the second boom gate, and the machine is completely out. But in the meantime, if you park in that car park, you'll know that people pile in very quickly behind us. So there's probably half a dozen cars, without exaggeration, within a minute. So you know, at the front of the queue, everyone's going, look at this idiot. He hasn't paid his ticket.
That's it. Yep.
So I've got my swipe that they'll use every day. That's not working. I'm looking around. Where's the phone? Where do you ring? There's no phone. I press a button. No answer. No one there. So as the sort of tension builds behind me, I thought, there's an easy solution to this, Jim. I'll just lift the old boom up. And then I'll let everyone out.
They're not designed to be lifted up, Duke.
Correct.
But knowingly broke the boom gate.
Well, what I did, I think, was a community service, because there was a lot of people behind
community
me
service.
Who were getting agitated, and they were starting to direct that agitation at me. And I thought, here's a solution. In fact, I had it because I got a very large sort of four-wheel drive.
Something akin to a minivan.
And even with the boom up, I thought it was going to be struck. So a helpful lady got out and held the boom a little higher for me and got herself back into her car, Chief. So I don't think the listeners out there would think that's ordinary behaviour.
I think they would, because the first thing you don't do with the boom gate that's not working is try and lift it.
Well,
that breaks And the type of vehicle you're driving doesn't matter. I mean, we all know you're going to drive some sort of van.
But there's no way to get out of
but
the car.
But the problem is, Duke, you have broken a piece of equipment. Who is going to pay for the broken boom gate?
I think the people that own the car park down there will have no issue with that, Chief, because they would have been getting
no issue.
They would have been getting some negative feedback from the constituents who were down there. I didn't drive through Dukes of Hazzard style. I didn't ram raid it. It wasn't a drive by.
It's my understanding, Chief, that not only did the Duke completely destroy the boom gate, then when it didn't work, he made the woman behind him get out of her car and walk forward and hold it up so he could get out. So that's what she's had to do to exit the Duke out of a broken
give me an
boom
alternative.
Gate.
What would you have done, Chief? You'd still be sitting there, would you?
I might have used a little bit more patience and pressed the buzzer a couple of times waiting for someone to come
I
and
did
answer.
All that.
Otherwise, you could have got out and walked up and found someone.
There's no one.
There's always a couple of people patrolling down
is
the
there?
Car park.
Oh, really? From your experience, is there?
It's called patience, Duke.
Well, you're a car parking expert, are you?
In fact, no doubt you would have been poking out the sunroof, so you probably wouldn't even have had to get out of the car to actually do it, Jim. You could have just called for someone, surely.
Well, mate, if I had you sitting, I might have been low enough to get out there with your massive girth and weight. You play that audio just to give me two clips.
It's a good visual, though, isn't it? The sunroof open, the big ostrich neck just straight up the top.
And there's more to this, Purple, because it's my understanding, obviously, this went very quickly viral through the Triple M network.
Yeah.
It's my understanding that it was good CCTV vision of the Duke absolutely losing his chops.
Can we see this?
No, well, apparently not, because somehow the bosses were got to. And that'll never see the light of day.
Oh.
I'm happy to release it on triplem.com.au. I've got no issue with that going.
Blowing up, was he, Duke?
Hey, you'll see how engaged I was with the cars behind.
I've seen you blow up. You do a good blow up.
Might have been a little tantrum initially. Just a little tantrum. Then I got it back on track.
Did you throw something?
No.
Virtually dragged a lady out of the car behind her.
She was wondering how she was going to get out of the car park. And I said, well, this might help your cause.
If I get out. Her holding it up for you is going to help her get out, is it?
If I get out, then everyone behind me is a chance to get out as well, Chief. So I think perfectly reasonable behaviour.
Chief, this is my understanding. She was so terrified at what she'd seen from the bloke in front that she just volunteered to do anything to get him out of the car park.
I'll get this vision and I'll release it personally if it's not just to clear my name and my good name at that. So I think that's a perfectly reasonable reaction to problem solving, Chief. Got everyone out of the car.
It'd be thousands of dollars.
It would have been. Because the electronics on it would probably have been warped too.
Correct.
That's it. And the boys wouldn't have. Ed and Mick would have let you slide with it too.
I've had about that many text messages to my phone today, and idiots ringing me that think I ram raided the bar and drove out of the car park. Yep. You'll see the vision at some stage. I'll get it, and you'll apologise, Chief.
I don't think I will.
Yeah. What was the Chief's line? It doesn't surprise me you're driving some sort of van with that head.
With that neck.
Oh, we need to back over that one, did we?
I can't hear it.
Jim's amazing himself.
I needed to hear it again. I needed to make sure I'd heard what
Chief's
was said.
She's so happy he snorted. Look at him. He's that happy with himself. He's just snorted.
And he must have a good ship off because he's prized that part out of ship off.
Look at him.
No man that I've ever known takes a morsel like that and runs with it harder than the Chief.
Have a look at him.
Absolutely loves it.
He smiles three times a year and he couldn't be happy
One man's pain is another man's pleasure.
He's a horrible, horrible unit.
He's happy with it too, didn't he? Really happy.
Last night, Purple, you talked about the $600,000 problem that GWS have in their salary cap. Explain that to us.
They do, Jim, and that's the amount of money by which they have to shed before the record keeping for the next season kicks in. So it's the equivalent of a really good player, maybe the equivalent also of maybe two players on 300 or three on 200. So they'll obviously lose off their next year's list Cam McCarthy, and he might be on 180 or thereabouts. Callum Marchbanks, the one who is attracting a lot of interest from a lot of clubs, and while I think he might still stay, he's got a decision to make on that front. Jack Steele, who actually has been left out of the team for the game against the Bulldogs on Sunday, Jim, he is another player out of contract and someone who is attracting a fair bit of interest. But it won't just be the players who are out of contract that the other clubs will come for. It will be in-contract players as well. And I really feel the GWS will contemplate those potential offers from other clubs because they do need to move that money out because they've got to get more kids in. They've got another five kids they're going to try and get out of their own academy onto next year's list as well.
Without having actually studied their list carefully as far as senior and emerging is concerned, Duke, just off the top of my head, a club that's been in the comp for 4 years?
This is its fifth year now.
How can you be 600 over already?
Well, I think they probably had to go after Tom Scully and pay him a lot of money, and then they went after... They probably had to pay overs on a lot. Mumford probably cost them more than maybe they thought initially at the start. He's sure they've paid a lot of money to get to that club. And for all the benefits they get, one of their challenges has been initially retention. How did you attract some of the... Callum Ward... He's on an enormous amount of money to get him out of the Bulldogs.
Dylan Shields on very good money now too, Jim. And they basically prioritised him over Adam Treloar when it was all said and done. They re-signed him before they got to Treloar, and Treloar took that as well. There's not enough money for me. And that's his right to do, but that's what they did. So they've made those decisions. And Jeremy Cameron's on a lot of money and will be on more money than he is this year, next year. So that's where it's all happened. Even Stevie Johnson, Das, would probably be on 350 or thereabouts. I'm speculating there, obviously. But he is giving indications he wants to go on next year as well, which will be a possibility for him. But again, it'll be a discussion to be had at the end of the year. But if he does, it's probably money that they hadn't initially factored in.
Have they got extra in their cap as well at this stage, Sydney, with the
GWS?
Not GWS?
As far as I know. No, okay. I believe all the extras that they were given by way of establishment and in their initial years of operations
have effectively
expired as of last year. I mean, there's a little bit of hangover this year on that, but it's not worth worrying about in this discussion.
No changes to either side. So they would have known, that's here, by the way, they would have known this is coming.
Yeah.
So they'll have a contingency plan in place as to what they're prepared to
let
go.
I've got no doubt they will. Yeah, they've basically, from what I can gather, Jim, they've done their topping up. I mean, Stevie Johnson was yet another top up on top of Shaw, on top of Mumford, on top of the others they'd already got by way of establishment. So they've done that. They've got they're very excited about their kids on the academy. As we've said, there's five of the nine kids in their academy this year who other clubs have judged to be top 25 picks at this stage. So they will be trying to get those five in. And as we know, they've already got two first-round draft picks, three second-round draft picks before it even starts.
Well, so how do they do that then? Because that's five, and then that's 10 players. You can't take 10 players.
How's it 10, sorry?
You're saying they've got two first-round picks and three second-round picks and five academy picks. So they
they'll use those picks to get the academies. And the way that now bidding system works, Jim, is that may not be enough to get them.
Yep.
So they might have to actually do some other shuffling, either late or with other players.
But they won't want to... Oh, they might. How high are their first-rounders?
Well, they're two in the first round. They've got their own pick and Collingwood's pick from Treloar. So Collingwood's pick from Treloar right now is looking nice. Like their owner's probably looking a fair bit late, but then they've got three as it stands in in the second.
So they're able to take their first one on merit, Chief, and then academy it from there by the sound of it.
I think they're going to be okay.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
And if they lose one of these players you're talking about, they'll get a nice trade for that too, I'd imagine, like a Caleb Marchbank or someone like that. If they're trading him out,
they'll get something very good for that. And they'll hold their hand out for a first round on him. Now, whether they get him, I don't think so, but you'd think they'd be getting someone something under 25. Jim, just the North Melbourne situation started so well with the injury front for the past couple of years, actually, but just a couple of things that have happened in the past fortnight. Higgins obviously out long term with the knee, which was an in-match situation. It was a knee issue. Wells, the Achilles problem that he had last year is not the one he's missing matches for at the moment. It's his other foot. But also Ben Jacobs now out for somewhere between 6 and 10, possibly longer. There's just a few things going wrong injury-wise for North.
He got Jacobs is the curse of the modern footballer, Duke. How many modern players have feet issues?
Yeah.
It's just extraordinary how often this occurs. And he's had pain in it. It's gradually been getting worse, and he's been able to get through. He's a tough kid, but I understand he woke up 2 weeks ago with really bad pain after the game, which is a sign that it's getting significantly worse. So, yeah, he's going to have... I think they're going to have a look at whether he needs an operation. He's in the hands of the specialist. So the hope is that he'll be sort of 6 to 8, but as we all know with feet, it's very similar to what Drew Petrie had a couple of years ago, and he was a lot longer term, but his was a lot worse, as I understand it. So we'll just have to wait and see. But, I mean, the things that the injuries that kill you, Damo, are soft tissue. They're the ones that you're desperate to avoid. So, you know, Higo, someone falling across his knee when he kicked that goal and him splitting his cartilage or meniscus in half. I mean, that's just an injury.
Well, on that point, Steve Saunders is some of you had a really close relationship in Adelaide, and you brought across and copped a bit of heat at the time, Jim, if I remember.
Absolutely.
People attacked you personally and said you were bringing your mate in. Your record since that time in soft tissues has been extraordinary, hasn't it?
Yep, amazing. And he's a freak, Steve-O, so we're very, very lucky to have him. But, you know, the ones we're talking about are...
Nothing damage within game,
within game or different things that all clubs cop.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you've got Hawks out here tonight with players missing. You've got the Dogs with five of their best six defenders missing.
Yep.
I mean, you've all got to put up with it.
So good has he been too, Dust, Steve Saunders, is that the player from the Gold Coast Suns used him to have his knee treated, David Swallow.
I remember flying over as a 19-year-old to go and see him as well. He was an osteitis, which was very common at that stage, and he was an unbelievable expert in treating that at the time.
The King, Big John O'Brown. Tell me, I think we'll get some ship off, Chief. I've noticed you've been nice and quiet and working away over there. Are you? Is this because the ship off's ready?
I'm just waiting for the gun to go off, Chief.
All right, well, let's go.
Ship the hell off.
Ship off.
Ship off.
Ship off.
Find a little boat and ship the hell off. I'm going to start in the world of Hollywood, Jim.
Oh, go on.
Daniel Craig, who you may know plays James Bond, and
love
he's
him.
Very good. In fact, he's a superb James Bond.
He is.
He's just turned down $138 million for the next two Bond films.
Yes.
So he's dead to me now and he can ship off.
You shipped him off.
I don't know if you've heard about the Oppenheimer Blue. This is a 14.62-carat blue diamond that was sold at auction for $78.59 million.
Jeez.
I'm shipping off the bloke that bought it because he obviously has too much money. And he can ship off on his own boat because I'm sure he's got a big one, Jim.
Oh, no.
That's ridiculous, paying $80 million for a diamond, seriously.
I'm hearing you, Chief.
The Montague Street Bridge is back in the news, and it's amazing that people keep hitting it. We're up to 103 now.
Yep.
And I believe, Duke, they're bringing in a gantry to do some
preparatory
works just to take some precautions on the impact of what's going to happen. Don't worry about the bridge and don't worry about the people that are trying to fix it. What about the flogs that continue to run into it when they know over 100 people have hit it?
Yep.
At some stage, would you sit there and think, better go and measure my truck or my vehicle and see what height it is?
They're taking
100 other flogs have hit it.
You know, there's detour signs everywhere, so you can just go one street and go around. It's not a big
deal. All those people that have hit it or are going to hit it, and there are more coming, you can all ship off.
Mm-hmm.
Last Saturday night, now this is, we're getting back to the realm of football now. Last Saturday night here, the Tigers had a massive win over the Swans. A big win. A nail-biting win. And as you can imagine, the song in the rooms was sung with great gusto. Mm. I want you to have a listen to it first before I tell you exactly what went on.
I'm going to get in there. And here we go. Gatorade everywhere. Let's gargle. And let's sing the song, Eat 'em Alive.
Tiger, let's go fucking fury with the Tiger. Let's go
Now, the voice you heard there was Triple M's very own Michael Roberts. Who's down in the rooms. Now,
past player of the club.
Robbo's got one job. Hold the microphone. You've got one job, Robbo. His job is not to sing.
Past player.
Robbo joined in singing the song when the flog is supposed to stand there quietly and hold the microphone so our listeners can hear it. So ship off, Robbo. That is just not on.
It is questionable, Jim, surely.
This one's a bit trying close to cut him some slack. I don't know if you spend much time browsing the Triple M website.
I don't.
We have a producer by the name of Luke Tunnicliffe.
Yep, that's the reason why I don't.
Apparently has put a very long, detailed story about how he prepares the Saturday rub.
Yes. And manages
all of you people
Look at me,
as to how it comes along. He talks about, you know, Brian's always first in here and then Spud's calling me with these ideas and everything comes together. But he takes a little bit of license in the article. He talks about Spud's dress sense. Says he dresses terribly with shorts from a bygone era, T-shirts that should never be worn by a bloke over 50, and croc thongs. and he's ad-libbing. He's going, give me a spell, bloody croc thongs. Then he goes further, Jim, and I need to read this bit out because this is quite extraordinary.
Read it out, Chief.
The last to grace us with his presence is the leader of this unruly mob, James Skinny Brayshaw. He's also a card-carrying, self-appointed, head-wobbling flog who, in inverted commas, is hip and fresh and airborne and owns a global and trending Instagram account.
That's it.
The man who's taken out more golden trumpets than some blokes have had hot dinners, also the chairman of an inner suburban footy club, a position that apparently allows him the privilege of, in inverted commas, walking on the green stuff. And when I say walking, I mean strutting. He's got a strut that even Viv Richards admires.
Did he say that? I didn't get that far.
No one should have got that far. In fact, I think it's been taken off the website due to popular demand. What is a snivelling little snorkeled producer like ours doing talking about you blokes who are the talent?
This is a good
and
question.
Trying to claim the fact that he puts it all together and it's a little bit about him and not you blokes.
Yes, good call. I like it,
I would have thought the Saturday Rub has become one of the most iconic sessions on radio in the country.
Hodgie never
People tune in, and I the number of people that tell me they nearly drive off the road listening to you boys and Spud in particular when he goes off.
Yep.
Lukey's trying to take credit for it. But it gets worse because this story had a sub-editor, a ghostwriter.
Oh, no.
No. Who? He couldn't even write it on his own.
Wok fried.
Oh.
Damien Barrett.
No, Chief.
Lended his assistance to the article. Gave it a little bit of professional going over and said it's good to go.
Get your facts right.
Have you got your facts right?
Your facts are normally better than that.
Well, then Lukey's lied to me.
I edited it. There's a difference.
Oh, you're the editor of his
editorial input.
I noticed the Warrior got a pretty good run in that article. From what I read.
If you saw the initial copy, it was unpublishable.
and you reckon the finished product is publishable?
A bit of tidying up.
At what stage did you say, Snorkel, you can't run with this?
I did think of saying that.
At what stage you have just cut everything?
Didn't change anything.
Said,
just Snorkel, sharpened it up.
Ship off.
Put some grammar into it.
Should have been said.
Some punctuation.
I'm a bit with you, Duke. I think Purple Reddit saw what his mentions were and thought, "Hello,
this is good.
It's actually not as bad as I thought." The captain of the Hawthorn Footy Club, two-time Norm Smith medalist, four-time Premiership superstar Luke Hodge joins us. Hodgie, welcome.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, Hodgie.
And, mate, it's been a massive week for you and your footy club. You're great, mate, everyone loves Jared Roughead, but especially you and Louis and the guys that have been with him throughout his whole Hawthorn journey. How have you found it and how's he going?
I guess the first initial one was a shock because you see a bloke who, for the last 12, 13 weeks, has been flying in his training. He's arguing with the physios that he should be back in the next month. They're telling him it's 6 weeks. He hasn't missed a beat for the last 12 weeks, and all of a sudden a person who looks fit, up and about, all of a sudden comes in and says that he's got cancer again. Especially for a bloke who is as lovable as Ruffy, you see the reaction to the AFL world. Players, supporters, clubs. He's probably like similar to the Bob Murphy. You don't hear a bad word about him. But Ruffy's loved all the support as far as very, very gracious and is very thankful for everyone what they've done, but I guess the way Ruffy likes to go about things is nice and smooth and under the radar, and I think that's how he's going to attack. That's how he's going to attack it.
What about you, mate? You're a great friend of his. How have you found it?
Yeah, yeah. You sort of sit back and it's shocked for the first 40, 24 hours, and then you sort of sit back and what do you do? You send him a message, and then you think, do you give him a call? Is everyone calling him? Are they getting inundated with text? Do you go around and see him? Everything you think you should do, you think, oh, I might be overstepping the mark because he's got family around there. It's, and then you sit back and go, well, as long as they know that you're there for him. Sarah's actually with Loz watching the footy at home tonight. So Ruff's came into the footy tonight. He's tried to be as normal as he can until everything starts in the next couple of weeks. He was out at the club yesterday doing a circuit with us. He went for a run with the fitness guys this morning. So he's just trying to get out and get on with life and do what he can. And the next few weeks happen.
Look, just your own role with being captain of this almighty football club. Have you felt the need to address either the playing group or the officials or anyone associated with it on the back of what Jarrod has told you?
Ruffy spoke to the whole group on Tuesday and did an outstanding job. For something that he only found out less than 24 hours prior, it's obviously going to shake anyone. Obviously, he was quite emotional, as were a lot of the players. And then you think sort of the players. It's, as I said earlier, your initial 24 hours is a bit of a what do you do? Like how do you help him out? But that was his message to us, is just to sort of keep on going on. We got a footy game on Friday night. He's going to be here to support the boys. But as far as chatting, we've had a few little chats amongst groups just about for younger guys to come and ask. We also had the doctor in about telling the boys about the process. We've had our play development managers in chatting to the boys, chatting to the partners, just to inform them, just so they know exactly what's going on. So they sort of know where Ruffy and Sarah are as well.
Oh, just probably the unanswerable question and a secondary thing, as you said, because of how we all feel about Ruff and his recovery. But what was your sense tonight from the playing group? Do you sense that there's going to be that extra bit of emotion? They're going to be carrying a fair bit of that out there tonight?
I reckon it's going to be a big game. As Ruffy would say, that you don't play any extra for a milestone, don't play any extra for anything. So I think listening to the team meetings throughout the week, Sydney are a fantastic side, and they've proven that for the last 10 years, especially this group. So they'll be disappointed from last week's. And whenever you have a close loss, they probably shouldn't have, when you shouldn't lose, they would have went through the tape pretty precisely, and they'll be coming out fairly fierce. So we're going to have to match them. We've been told it's been reported that we've been terrible in contested possessions for the last 4 or 5, 6 weeks. So it's going to be a good battle in the middle.
What about you, mate? Extraordinary. Look at you, your finger taped up and your body's banged up and you're coming back from surgery. Do you not feel pain? Is it an emotion that you don't feel? You break your arm in a contest and you sort of looked at it and then just sort of went on and kicked the ball. You did your knee a couple of minutes into a game against GWS and just rolled out and played the next 4 quarters. I work in an office environment now, Jim. You see people with a cold, don't turn up for two weeks.
The bloke's name's Golf Bag.
I wasn't going to name him. But Hodgie, it's a remarkable threshold for pain you appear to have.
No, if you ask my wife, I'm probably like that when I get the man flu as well. I'm in bed, I'm coughing and splattering and need to be weighed on hand and foot. But I think it's our profession. And as you get older, you realise footy's not going to be around forever. So every opportunity you can play, you try and do. So,
Hodgie, love to talk about the Hawks overall in 2016. 6-2, looks good. Percentage isn't great, it's only just over 100. From the outside, and my personal opinion is, I don't think the team's travelling anywhere near the levels of the last few years. What about your opinion, which counts a hell of a lot more than mine?
I heard your opinion a few weeks ago. You wrote us off. Good, loyal Hawthorn to
Didn't write them off from the finals. I said they're not in my premiership calculations at the moment.
You said they can't win the flag, Jan.
And I stand by that.
Which is a little...
I stand by that. And I also hope they prove me wrong big time. Don't worry about that. Because you know where my heart lies.
I know, mate.
But
my,
I'm not.
My opinion is, Duke, that I didn't think they could win it this year. And I'm keen to get Hodgie's opinion of where you think they're travelling.
Mate, I think it's as open as any year. I think if you look through the teams, at the start of the year, there was 8 or 10 teams that I thought could have won it, and I'm still got that in my mind at the moment. As far as where we're sitting, as you said, we're 6-2. We haven't played great football, but we've been able to win games. And when it gets to around 17, 18, 19, 20, it doesn't really matter what you did in the first half of the year as long as you get the wins up. I think last year we were 4-4. We played some really good games, but we played some pox games as well. We played a game that we lost here at the MCG against Essendon, which we shouldn't have lost. Went across to Port Adelaide, and we only lost by 7 or 10 points, but we were pathetic that day as well. So this group is a proud group, and Clarko doesn't... it doesn't sit well with him when we play the footy we have so far, but we've been doing everything we can to improve. And we've changed small little things in meetings, in games, as we did last year. But I think we're starting to play better football.
Hodgie, I would strongly argue with your body of work that you've now eclipsed the chief in hierarchy at the Hawthorn Footy Club, going back through the history of the joint. So if you genuinely...
I've heard stories of him wrestling, so I'm going to say I don't think so.
If you genuinely filthied up with what he said, we'd prefer you go hard and say, listen, you clown, pull your head in.
As I said about his wrestling, I spent a bit of time with Jace about 10 years ago, and I ended up on my backside. So... as far as this,
He's a fat bastard? Or
yes, that helps. That helps.
Hey, Jim, I think you've picked up on something good. Four-time premiership champion, The Chief might be barracking against anyone past his record.
You could be on that. And there's just a bit the of fact self-preservation. That you folks would say that.
I think we're onto something here, Hodgie.
No,
I'd
strongly disagree. As far as anyone who's seen what he's done, I'm not going to pump him up because he'll turn around and slap me for praising him, but I think if we win a game, I think he'd be probably the happiest person going around. But he's also in the media and he's got to say what he thinks, and we're just out to prove him wrong.
And I hope you do.
What about when you had to take that premiership of 2008, the cup, not you personally, but other officials and the coach, around to his house immediately after the game? And would have taken away a fair bit of the moment, wouldn't it?
Not at all. It's the same as in 2012 when the players went through the hardest time losing a grand final, and he's going to slap me now for saying it, but he was the one person who sat around with the boys afterwards having beers trying to lift our spirits. I said, Bung's never been there to pump himself up, but he's always been there for the football club.
Didn't want that answer, did you?
I know that, but I don't think he did either. But all we're saying is we understand. Like, everyone has an opinion. We disagree with Bungs. We weren't happy when he said it, but we're trying to prove him wrong at this stage.
If you're able to watch the footy show last night, Hodgie, but there was some nice vision Sam had dug up of two Ugandan gorillas going at it, and a sort of a different style at it.
Really?
Because
are you still running with
it was a hopping three-legged from behind sort of arrangement, Chief. See, I thought reminded me a lot of you, actually.
And 20 years on, you're trotting out the same stuff.
That never ties. You could get another 20 years out of
the boys must love seeing the great silverback going hard at it.
Well, to be honest, I've got three kids. I'm not in bed by that stage.
A little message came through to me last night. You might have been out with one Shane Keith Warren around his house playing a little bit of poker. Am I told that you might have dirtied up last night? Did you get rolled around the poker table last night with some poor decisions that maybe should have gone your way that didn't?
No, we had a pretty cruisy catch up with a few friends, so it's obviously good to get out occasionally. We had a nice little catch up with a few friends last night.
I'm told the cards didn't fall your way though last night, Hodgie, and that you weren't all that happy.
No, I got a couple bad beats. I was going to throw someone in the pool, but hey, we won't worry about that.
I got there eventually. That was where I like it.
So as we let you go, for the millions of Hawks fans listening, give us a date. How far away?
4 or 5 weeks, roughly.
All right, one of those weeks is North Melbourne, I think, just at the back end of that.
Yeah, I think so.
Take roughly as long as you like, Hodgie. That's my advice to you. Make sure you're absolutely tickety-boo.
Thanks, JB.
Great to see you, mate.
Good on you, Hodgie.
Thanks
for dropping in. We swing from Hawthorn to the Sydney Swans, and this man, of course, a premiership coach of the Swans, a premiership player at the North Melbourne Footy Club. He's always very good to us, John Longmire. He's down on the boundary, I think, with Ash the Chew Man, who'd want to get the questioning underway in a very positive sense. Chewer?
Thanks, JB. Yes, I've got the Sydney Swans coach, John Longmire, with us. John, obviously, gut-wrenching result last week. We won't harp on that. But you fielded 5 debutants this year, which is the most in the AFL. You must be pretty excited with some of the young talent starting to shine through.
Yeah, look, we know that we've been working on some of our younger kids coming through and needed that regeneration, I guess, as far as those younger players, but still trying to be as competitive as we can. And that's what we've tried to do this year. And some of those kids that have come through, not quite sure what they're going to deliver at the senior level, but some of them have been really good. It's unfortunate for Tom Papley that he's out tonight, but he's been really good, and a number of the others have been good as well.
Horse, with regard to that last sort of minute and a half, how much in your review do you worry about that? Like, or do you just go, I've just got to regenerate this group and come up against an amazing club on Friday night? Or, it interests me how much diving into the past you do, and then how much, right, we just got to get this week right.
Oh, you I mean, we review probably as we normally do, and we look at what we did well and what we didn't do well, and that was one of the things we didn't do well. But we just went through it as we normally do. You review it, look at the good and bad out of the whole game. You look at the last couple of minutes, of course, and then you move on pretty quickly. You need to move on pretty quickly when you've got a Friday night game.
You go, Duke.
Hey, Horse, I was going to say last week something as viewers and commentators, we get the shot in the coach's box. It seemed to be, even when you're four goals up, looked like you had the game in hand, a bit of extra tension in the box from you, Horse. It was, I suppose, from our point of view, entertaining. I suppose when you're in the mix of it, not so much. Is that the way you like to get the emotion out a little bit and then get down and be calm to the players, or is it just one of those frustrating nights?
Oh, no, it was just a period of time we had in the second quarter. So, once we got that sorted out, we're okay the second half.
Horse, a lot of people think it's a very open year, and it's pretty hard to argue with that. Is it just about trying to get momentum when you can, get yourself in a position to bank enough wins and set yourself up for a tilt at it come the second half of the season?
Oh, well, maybe, Jason. I mean, you really don't know. I mean, we look at what's in front of us every week, and our players in particular don't look too far ahead, and we as coaches definitely look at what we've got in front of us. So, that's what we continue to do. We don't, think about what we've got to get in the bank and look at the second half of the year and what that looks like, because it's so tough every week. So we just concentrate on the processes. And, normally we get them pretty right, but we get another big challenge tonight.
John, Gary Rowan back into the team tonight. He's had a troubled time in it at the AFL. Do you feel now that he may be able to get a sustained crack at some footy?
Well, we hope so, Damien. He's really, he's had a big... I guess since the start of the season when we were playing, he was really doing a mini pre-season and getting himself absolutely cherry ripe. He had a bit of a hamstring issue that lingered around a bit longer that was related somewhat to that broken leg he had a few years ago. So we need to get the strength in his muscles and make sure he's absolutely sound and ready to go before he came back into senior football. And we're really confident that he is now. And we're really confident that he'll get a good run of it because, he's put so much pressure on. He's such a dynamic player that we really love having him in the team.
And, John, I know you're not one to talk up individuals all that much, but Isaac Heaney, how good is he?
He's not bad. He's not bad. He's pretty tough. That's what I really like about him. He's so so hard. He's very composed in traffic, but when he goes at the ball, he goes it with every ounce of his being, and that's what we love about him in the forward line. He really creates a contest, even though he's just a young player and not that tall. He just launches at it, and you love the enthusiasm of youth. He's one of those blokes that give our older players a real lift because he's just that rawness of youth and enthusiasm. It's fantastic having the team.
Horse, have you tapped into the best of Kurt Tippett yet, or are you still learning about him in terms of balance in the ruck and forward and what he's capable of and the best way to utilise him?
Oh, we're really happy with particularly the back end of last year, Jason. The second half of the year was fantastic, and this year he's been super for us in the ruck. I mean, he's really played a great role for us. I mean, once Pikey left, we needed really a bloke to shoulder that ruck burden in the middle of the ground. He's done the majority of that and still been able to hit the scoreboard. And so we'd like to be able to get that mix of a bit more 50% at different times, but because he's been so good in the ruck, we've used him in there. So look, we're really pleased with his year so far. We think he's been really consistent.
Hey, Horse, Nick Smith and Sir Rowley have had an amazing history together. They went to school together at Scotch College. They've played in grand finals and have shared the honours at various stages. You imagine that matchup will happen a bit tonight?
Oh yeah, it'll happen. Nick Smith and Dane Rampey and those guys will be matched up against those small Hawthorn forwards at different times. There's no doubt about that, and they have had a strong history going back to the school days, and it's great to see. I mean, Nick's come off the rookie list and plays his 150th game tonight, and he's been a fantastic player and leader for our club.
Luke Parker, Horse, one of the great modern drafts, 40 I think he was taken in 2010. Has he surprised you as to how good a player he's become, or did you always have confidence that he would get to the level he has?
Oh, Kinnear Beetson was really confident, James, when he drafted him at pick 40, that we had a good player. We were looking at other players at that particular point, and it's the old story. You're really happy to see him when he gets to that pick, and and we grabbed him. He's had a great history as a junior, as a massive competitor, and we grabbed him, and we couldn't be happier. He's super for us. He's the youngest ever player that's been put into our leadership group. He's a massive competitor and a real driver of what we're about. We're just wrapped with him.
Hey, we won't chew up any more of your time, Horse. Thanks very much for joining us, and good luck. Big night tonight for you.
Thanks, guys.
That's John Longmire down there. It's staggering for me, Duke, that 39 players were taken before Luke Parker. He'd have to be in the top five players in the competition.
Yeah, without doubt. And with a bullet too, I think it gets better every time you see him play. And they're the bits of gold, aren't you, when you get one at that stage and you just turn him into an absolute superstar. I detected all business tonight for Horse.
Very much so, Jeff.
It wasn't interested in any
banter
at all.
Nothing.
It was they're stung from last week.
Yep.
And I think they see tonight as a massive game in this. Of course it is, but he had a real edge about him, the horse, tonight.
Don't think he liked your question, does
he? I didn't enjoy that
about
one, did he?
The behaviour in the box?
Well, it was more, I hadn't seen him. If you watched the game last week, called the game, and he was as animated as I've ever seen him. They were four goals up. And his answer was interesting because clearly something was happening out there that was doing his head in. And you know, once that happened, to be honest, the rest of the game, he was back to the normal composed self that he is.
Jim, they've come, as they always do, on the Friday rub on the at Triple M footy handle on Twitter. Gavin Healy, maybe 20 years old, Chief, but you can't get enough silverback references. Millsy, the Hawks lose the 2012 flag, and then they have to endure the Chief cheering them up. That makes for a tough day. Jim, you get a reference here from Trav Coots. JB with a quick little drive-by on Golf Bag, the only 27-year-old to get gout and also get run over on the road. And
that's
then
true.
He comes back on crutches.
Run over on the road.
They loved your ship off, Chief. They loved your ship off. And they loved the Boomgate story. That's dominating talk tonight, the Boomgate story. That you revealed, or not revealed, Chief, but you went into great detail with Das destroying the Triple M Car Park Boomgate.
That Duke will get a bill for too, I'm led to believe.
The positive my way out on their...
it's not just. There's even a reference to the... you when Chief said you had your head out the sunroof that you might have clipped the Montague Street Bridge.
I love it. Chief likes that. Look at the chat.
Trying to find who actually said that. There it is. Steve Hancock. Heard it was Duke's head sticking out of the sunroof at the Montague Street.
I love it. Like a real flog, Stevie Hancock.
Funnily enough, we don't mind him.
It's part of the pack.
So let's get the news for you. You always hear it first when Damien Barrett's involved. Frio Purple, or is there any special place you want to start?
We can go with Frio. Jim, I think we need to. 0-8 start to the year, and they've got Richmond this week, and that could become 0-9. But they've managed to handle it pretty well, Jim. It's a scenario where they, as you know, won the first 9 games last year, finished the home and away season top of the ladder. This year hasn't gone to plan, obviously, with Fife and Sandilands and Johnson going down there. The interesting one is Harley Benn on it. This is the third big-name recruit that Ross Lyon has brought into Ross Lyon coach teams. You go back to Andrew Lovett at St Kilda. It did not work for obvious reasons. Colin Sylvia didn't work to us a couple of years ago at Fremantle, and now Harley Benn. It's something he needs to, unfortunately, carry with his decision-making, because they've all been Ross Lyon-driven decisions. Obviously, the decision is ultimately a club one, but Ross Lyon has driven all of these decisions. And the announcement yesterday that Benn is unlikely to play this year is quite staggering, given we are at round 8 and we are talking about a calf injury which was not detected until the very last moments of the waffle game that he played, which was 1 week before the bye.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I heard Ross at his press conference, someone asked that question, Damo, and essentially saying along the lines of calf injury rest of the season, and Ross got right on the front foot, said you're being mischievous, you want to keep going down that path. And I love Ross, and I love the presence that he's got, and I love his record, and I love the way he goes about coaching. But I think that's a pretty legitimate question to ask, that a calf injury at this time of the year, unless it's something that we've never heard of before, isn't normally season-ending. And why is that the case? Why are you putting him out? And then it might be a legitimate reason. You might just say, hey, hasn't worked this year. We're going to get him fit, rebuild him, and bring him back next year. And that may well be the answer.
Well, they're saying it's a relapse, like he's re-injured the calf, aren't they? So I assume they were starting to wind him up towards getting him back into it, and then it's twinged again. At least I agree with Duke. He was very, very forthright in saying, hey, guys, there's no conspiracy here. This is what it is.
Yeah. Look, he hasn't... I'm not obviously in Perth, Chief, but the people that tell me that what's going on at that club, to a point, he hasn't been cited a lot. So you can say he might have relapsed and might have done it again, but no one has seen him doing the hard sprints that would have caused something that, by the stage of round 8, to be out for the year, it does seem strange. Yaron's in the same situation, or a similar situation, Das. Again, a calf at Richmond, and there's other issues with Chris Yaron. We've touched on them on the Friday and Saturday rubs already. We're not going to delve into that, Jim. We don't delve into that space as a rule, but there are issues there with Chris Yaron that almost see him out for the year as well. And Jamie Elliott's situation for Collingwood was thrown into it as well during the week too. Clearly a setback, not going well with his back, and I know we had him in the box a couple of weeks ago, and I think he
That's
was
a concern
indicating
what he's got wrong with him.
To you that it was hopefully back in 4 to 6 weeks. That's not the case, and he looks to be out for the year as well.
I can't work out, Duke, with Fremantle. This is an extraordinarily well-resourced, well-run club. from top to bottom. You know, they tick an enormous amount of boxes in our competition. Yep. They're not quite doing a Hawthorn with their facility, but it's not far from it, what they're building out in Coburn, you know, down in Kwinana sort of way. In I mean, they are a shiny dollar in our competition, and yet they cannot get anyone to go and play there other than the kids they draft. How is this?
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? They've had a go at everyone. They've had a massive lash at Harry Taylor. They've had a massive lash at any key position player.
Jack
Travis
Revolt. Clote. Jack yeah. Revolt, yep.
Even Lockie Henderson, I think, may be thrown in the mix as well. So, I mean, people would say that no one wants to live in Perth and do that trip.
But West Coast don't have the same issue. They've been able to attract players to come across.
Been out of land, haven't they? Yeah.
Jack Redden being the most recent one, but they've had lots of examples of that. It just staggers me that they can't get, with everything they've got going right at that place, players to come and
And with the coach is good, and administration is good, and a side that's been as good as they've been. Any idea on why that would be the case, Chief?
No, not quite sure, Duke, to be brutally honest, but they've got some serious headaches, the Doggers. I think, given most of us had them in our top four prior to the season, to be in the position they're in now, and you can't just sit there and say it's because Fife and Sandilands have been injured and maybe Michael Johnson. Every club deals with that. I'm amazed at how deep the hole has got so quickly for the Dockers.
And the tanking word, it has to get thrown up. I'm not saying there's any legitimacy to it, but it has to get thrown up. I'm not a subscriber to it for what it's worth.
Well, Aaron Kirk asks on social media, Triple M, why can't Barlow get a game after 58 touches in the waffle? That will be part of that conspiracy you're talking about.
He was playing pretty ordinary football, though, and butchering the football. And fumbling the football. So it's not all about numbers. I mean, you'd expect him to go back and have 30 a week in the waffle, wouldn't you? I mean, I don't think that's neither
58's a fair day out. That's the
38.
I thought he said 58. Sorry, yeah.
All right. So the AFL, look, they're looking at it. They're not going to be doing anything about it, but it does seem strange you can go 0-8 after finishing top of the ladder after the home and away season last year. Suns, Jim, we touched on them in a North perspective before, but they've got 16 unavailable players too for this particular game of footy.
That's a big number, isn't it?
It's a big number. Ablett's missing. He's one of those players out. He copped that head knock late last week. It was at the stage, though, where he was probably going to be rested anyway, Darce, the way it was unfolding, and that footy club right now, you mentioned before, as we touched on GWS, Jim, into their fifth year, Gold Coast into its sixth year. They're at the stage now where they almost have to rebuild, which is not what the plan was for this club when it was given the raft of concessions and set up bonuses that allowed them to come into existence in 2011.
It just appeared to me a little purple that when they got Bluey McKenna out of there, there was a bit of sneering on the back of that, a bit of, well, you know, when you... How can I say this diplomatically? There was almost a sense of when you stuffed it up as badly as you are, out you go and take your crap culture. You could argue they got worse.
Jim, I think
considerably worse.
I think it's a good point you raise. I mean, you use the word sneer. They were certainly comfortable with making the decision, weren't they? And I think it's a good point.
Almost a don't slam the door on the way out type of thing.
Yep.
And yet you could mount a strong case that since he's departed, the joint's actually got worse.
Yeah, well, all we're trying to do is deal in fact. And we saw what happened last year under Rodney Eade's first year. I'm not shooting the blame home at Rodney Eade, by the way, but they made the decision at the end of last year to get rid of two people they felt were almost dual-handedly holding them back, they being Charlie Dixon and Harley Bennell. Now, okay, that's fine. You go and do that, but you take out some serious quality out of your team when you do that, and you're still left with a whole lot of other people who were doing similar things to what those two guys were doing, but you're tolerating those players to stay on your list. Look, there's going to be a clean-out of some description. O'Meara, until he commits, he's not there, is he? I mean, let's face it. Swallow's contracted for next year, but the conversations are already being had about what he does even at the end of this year. You've got Matera, who can't get a look in for reasons that are football-related these days. In the past, they were for off-field reasons, but he's a quality player who just is not part of what is going on at this club at the moment, given there's so many injuries. And things like that, Jim, add up. And they're being watched by the AFL, but I'm strong of the view now that both the Suns and the Brisbane Lions now need to be run by someone, or at least for 6 to 9 months, run by someone outside of those two clubs' operations. To me, it needs to be a commissioner going up to the region with a cold set and a hard set of eyes onto the scenario that now faces not just one football club, but two clubs that are only 80 kilometres apart and are holding this competition down, it must be said.
Well, especially when you compare them to the state just to the south, where the GWS Giants and Sydney Swans are, what, third and fifth or whatever they are on the ladder. And
GWS are $1.30 favourite to beat the side that's fourth on the ladder or fifth on the ladder. Yep. And then that is the comparison that I think really shines a poor light on the Gold Coast Suns. 16 injuries, no one can compete with that, let's be honest. But that's been going on for a long period of time. GWS have been hamstrung with enormous challenges as well. But the way they seem to manage that group, the way that culture is and the way they play as a team, and they are a mile in front of where Gold Coast are on almost every measure, which many people would have thought would have been absolutely the reverse.
And Jim, your point there about what's going on in the New South Wales part of the AFL equation is very valid, because you go back to 2004 when Brisbane Lions just came off the back of four consecutive grand finals. They have not fired a shot since. In fact, they've hemorrhaged to the point of being embarrassing over many different leaders in charge of that club. But the Sydney Swans, who lost the prelim final in 03 to the Brisbane Lions in that year, we know that they won the grand final in 2005 and have just stayed there ever since. They've had one lapse or relapse to their past in that period of time, but otherwise they're there the whole time. The Brisbane Lions have not been able to do that. And the challenges facing the Swans are every bit as great as the ones that are right in front of the Brisbane Lions now.
Sydney have been unbelievable. I think if you go back the last 20 years, they've played in more finals than any other club. The Swans. Yep. I mean, they've been extraordinary over a long period of time.
That would be right.
And two premierships in there. So I think Geelong and Hawthorn, the obvious clubs are up there. But the Swans, I think, are the number one. They've played more finals. It might be 25 years, it might be 15. Anyway, they've been unbelievable.
My only concern, and already there's talk about giving more allowance to Brisbane again, and retention of players is an issue, and we can't afford to have, you know, expansion states, and you can even call Brisbane part of that. We can't have the Gold Coast. And the skewing of the competition, again, when a lot of their problems are poor choices and poor management.
Yeah.
And you look at the decision to get, you know, what Brendan Favola turned out to be and to top up that list at that stage, and that ended up being an unmitigated disaster. I'm not having pot shots at individuals there. It's just a cold reality. Melbourne-based clubs make those mistakes, and we say, hey, bad luck.
Yeah.
Go back and fight your way through it for another decade. And that's what you do, whereas I'm already getting a sense that the AFL won't have any tolerance at all for this not to be righted very, very quickly. And stay tuned then for massive concessions. And it just skews the competition again.
We can't do that.
You watch for it, Chief. You watch it happen. They won't sit back and allow it. There'll be a draft pick. There'll be extensions in the salary cap. That's their history.
Of course they can't.
But
it's a good argument. And you can sit there and say they won't allow. But what are the other 16 or 17 clubs going to allow?
No.
They'll be beside themselves and they'll go en masse to the AFL and say, sorry, you're not going to do this.
Don't want to blow smoke up Jim, but when he walked in 9 years ago at North, they were every bit as bad as what Brisbane Lions is right now, and there was no concessions given to them.
Well, they weren't as bad on field. They're very good record on field.
True, but the off-field scenario, you were $8.5 million in debt. This club right now is $13 million in debt. I mean, CPI factored in, there's not a lot of difference on that front.
No, but I think, to credit Dean Laidley, he had held that group together on field very well. Still remained very competitive, but I agree, off-field there were significant challenges that probably aren't too different. But we also have on special comments Nathan Grimer, formerly of the Kangaroos, now the Bombers. Hello, Nani.
G'day, JB. Good to be along. Thanks for the invite. As a footy tragic, nothing better than being at the MCG on a Friday night. So got to see Sydney firsthand 2 weeks ago, and looking forward to watching it up here tonight.
We're looking forward to having you contributing hard. Now, I don't know whether you caught up with this, Duke, but of course, Sinani got to play against his old club last week for the first time. After
certainly
many
did.
Years at Arden Street, he went to Windy Hill and or the Bombers, and I loved the story that Nani let rip on the rush hour earlier in the week, how halfway through the second quarter, Boomer wasn't happy with how the forwards were structuring up for the Kangaroos, so he brought them all into a huddle, and it was about 20 or 30 seconds into his address before he realised there was an Essendon jumper in there as well. Nani just wandered in there and parked himself in the huddle.
Yeah, he didn't see me there, and then he tried to make a joke at my expense and stuffed it up, which was perfect. But I've always wondered what the forwards talk about. They weren't saying much, actually. But it was good to play against the old mob last week, and I'm loving my time at Essendon, being back playing.
And you're not playing because of a hip problem, is that right?
Yeah, sore hip, so it's only going to be a couple of weeks. But effectively, just trying to... I didn't join the club until a week before NAB Cup, and going from doing nothing to probably 30K sessions throughout the course of a week, it's just taken its toll a bit. And I got to experience playing again, which is what I wanted to do. And now I just want to get back and play a few more games.
Did you pick anyone off last week? No, there must have been someone you wanted to give a little clip to.
who do I not like there? No, everyone's pretty good there, actually. And... you know, Drury kicked a couple early goals on me, and the boys were starting to sort of
get a bit
yell out the word isolate, and I was a bit twitchy. Only in my first game back, actually, 2 weeks earlier, I wandered. It doesn't get much harder than Sydney at the SCG, and I wandered down to full back, and Buddy smiling at me saying this could be like Launceston a few years back.
So, oh, no!
Where he kicked 13. So luckily for me, I didn't have to play on him, but it was just, yeah, it made me feel absolutely
I love as the flat as a pancake. That's it. I might kick 13 today.
I just said, yeah, mate.
As you wandered down.
I just regret nodding my head. Yeah, you probably will, mate.
Hey, Nani, I loved last week after kicking the last six goals of the game, getting back when you decide you play for now, the Bombers only kick 4 points. Up until half time, the response of the Essendon fans, I thought it was a great story last week. Standing ovation for the team you're playing for now.
Firstly, yeah, it was a great effort after half time. Anyone that's probably played, especially at Etihad, when you do fall behind by probably 30 plus points and you do roll the dice and go through the middle, you can kick goals quick. So it was a combination of both. It's a pretty hard to defend when you do play sort of an all out Russian roulette, but we held them to two goals at the same time. So that was probably to be able to defend and attack at the same time, which we've struggled with. But after the game, to get the standing ovation, Craig Bird, actually, he played in the Premiership for Sydney, and he said he hadn't seen scenes like that in a room in his career. So they were cheering us when we walked out of the post-match meeting. So that was all a bit weird. But I think, like Woosh has said during the week, they're cheering more for the future and the fact that we've come together at late notice. And, you know, North, what are they, 8-0, and we've ran them to the line. So, we're doing the best we can, with a short prep. So, it's been made a bit of a joke of, but it was probably well-deserved.
Give us a bit of an in-depth insight into John Worsfold, because he looks like he's done an amazing job with what's going on there at the moment.
Yeah, he's doing a great job, Woosher. I've loved my time under him. As I said, I'm a footy tragic. I could sit and talk footy all day. And to get to know him and the way he's just integrated the group together, you know, you've brought in 10 players that, you know, you, other than passing each other in the street or the footy field, have never met. And, you know, the camaraderie at the group is as good as I've seen at any club. I love going to the club every day. You know, as I was saying the other day to someone, you know, you've got to be careful not to make it too jovial, because it's the AFL footy. People are getting paid big money and there's sponsors and stuff like that. But to be able to go to a club and know there's no expectation to play finals or just to improve, it's just really refreshing. And, the meetings are short and to the point, and all the younger guys are loving having, like, James Kelly, three-time premiership player, Stokesy, Craig Bird, Joffy Simpkin. They've all won premiership, so, like, it is a wealth of knowledge. I've enjoyed my time there, and I know everyone else is loving under Woosher.
Of the replacements, who do you feel is best equipped, at this stage anyway, to go on into 2017?
At this stage, James Kelly's having a super year. He'd be in the top three, I guess, at the BNF, and he's been a huge support for BJ in a leadership capacity, as you hope he would. He's nearly played 300 games, and he's so well regarded. So Kel's been great, you know, but then you've got to, you know, the age. Matty D's played every game. He's only 23 or 4, but doing a great job down back. And I think everyone's taken it for the 1 year that it is, and then we'll assess based on who comes back. But every time a player's re-signed, it's been a huge vibe at the club, and they'll announce one of the boys is coming back, and the boys, you know, clap and cheer, and it's a really good vibe at the footy club, considering.
Might be an interesting year next year too for the Bombers, having done what they've done this year. I think well above the expectation of what I think most people would have thought at the start of the year, and then they've signed the majority of the players. Michael Hurley's probably the last big name of that group to come back. So they get the benefit of Darcy Parrish playing every game. They found, you know, Zach Merrick, for me, I look at him now as a potential A-grader. I didn't think that he was near that last year. They've got a lot of upside in players that have played. They could bounce back in pretty good shape next year.
Yeah, for me, the whole idea of 2016 for the Bombers was exactly that. Fast-track the development of the talented young players, pump more games into them. Joe Danaher is going to be better with another 20 games under his belt, and he's had to do it the hard way at times. I think all those players, plus a few other youngsters coming in, are going to be a hell of a lot better when they get a regular, consistent team of senior players around them. There's been a number of changes at different stages with the Bombers, and, you know, they've had to also manage the load of not playing too many young kids at once. But you put all those regulars that look like they'll come back to the Bombers next year with the best selection of those young players that have got a few games under their belt. A lot to look forward to, I think, for the Bombers.
It's got the ground blacked out at the moment and the iPhone lights flashing with great respect being shown to Beyond Blue Duke and the work they do. So people may be at the ground wondering why, although it would be pretty hard for them to be wondering why, because it's being well represented in all of the advertising boards around the place, but more than 3 million Australians live with depression or anxiety, so they do amazing work, and it's well recognised. Always linked with the Hawthorn Footy Club through Jeff Kennett,
absolutely.
Their former champ.
Power of work that he does on that. Very interesting how many people now have the iPhone torch, isn't it? And no, they do light in the else these days. Everyone's got a phone in their hand. Interesting to think what it's going to be like for someone like Dyson Heppel. It's an experiment where players have had a year out of the game with no injury concern at all. Whether they'll look back at that as being maybe a positive, maybe it adds a year or two down the track, or whether or not they find it restricting it. It's going to be an interesting experiment.
Would it be for him, maybe, Dust, given his relatively young age compared with a Watson, for instance, that it's going to be a hindrance to him, at least initially? I mean, he's at the peak of his powers right now, and he's been durable. I can't imagine it's a positive for him. But I get why you're asking the question. Maybe at the flip side, the flip end of his career, that maybe missing 2016 does add one or two at the back. But I would have thought, and I haven't spoken to him for a while.
Mate, you'd be struggling to get a positive out of as we sit here at the moment. I don't think there'd be any talk of that. But it's we haven't had it before. No, it's taken, well, very rarely have seen a player take a year off and have a gap
wrong
year.
With him.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Come back and see how they go.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks football.